Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Text 2. Word to word meaning, Saha, he, King Agnidra, Cha, also, Kadachit, once upon a time, Pitriloka, the Pitriloka planet, Kama, desiring, Suravara, of the great demigods, Vanita, the women, Akrida, the place of pastimes, Achala Dronyam, and one valley of the Mandara hill, Bhagavantam, unto the most powerful Lord Brahma, Vishwashrijam, of personalities who have created this universe, Patim, the master, Abhrita, having collected, Paricharya Upakarana, ingredients for worship, Atma of the mind, Eka Argrayena, with full attention, Tapasvi, one who executes austerity, Aradhayam Babhuva, became engaged in worshipping. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, desiring to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pitriloka, Maharaj Agnidra once worshipped Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to a valley of Mandara Hill where the damsels of the heavenly planets come down to stroll. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia, and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. Purport, the king became Pitriloka Kama, or desirous of being transferred to the planet named Pitriloka. Pitriloka is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata, Devan Pitren, Yanti Pitre Vrataha. To go to this planet, one needs very good sons who can make offerings to Lord Vishnu and then offer the remnants to their forefathers. The purpose of the Shraddha ceremony is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, so that after pleasing him, one may offer prasad to one's forefathers and in this way make them happy. The inhabitants of Pitriloka are generally men of the Karmakandya, or fruit of activities category, who have been transferred there because of their pious activities. They can stay there as long as their descendants offer them Vishnu prasad. Everyone in heavenly planets, such as Pitriloka, however, must return to earth after exhausting the effects of his pious acts. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Kshinye Punye Martyalokam Vishanti, persons who perform pious acts are transferred to higher planets, but when the effects of their pious acts are over, they are again transferred to earth. Since Maharaj Priyavrata was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pitriloka? Lord Krishna says, Pitren Yanti Pitre Vrataha. Persons who desire to go to Pitriloka are transferred there. Similarly, Yanti Ma Yajino Pimam. Persons who desire to be transferred to the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha Lokas, can also go there. Since Maharaj Agnidra was a son of a Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. Why, then, did he desire to be transferred to Pitriloka? In answer to this, Goswami Giridhara, one of the Bhagavatam commentators, remarks that Agnidra was born when Maharaj Priyavrata was infatuated by lusty desires. This may be accepted as a fact because sons are begotten with different mentalities according to the time of their conception. According to the Vedic system, therefore, before a child is conceived, the Gabardhan Samskara is performed. This ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants his seed in the womb of his wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with a devotional attitude. At the present moment, however, there are no such Garbhodan Samskaras, and therefore people generally have a lusty attitude when they beget children. Especially in this age of Kali, there are no Garbhodan ceremonies. Everyone enjoys sex with his wife like a cat or dog. Therefore, according to Shastric injunctions, almost all the people of this age belong to the Shudra category. Of course, although Maharaj Agnidra had a desire to be transferred to Pitriloka, this does not mean that his mentality was that of a Shudra. He was a Kshatriya. Maharaj Agnidra desired to be transferred to Pitriloka, and therefore he needed a wife because anyone desiring to be transferred to Pitriloka must leave behind a good son to offer yearly pinda, or prasad from Lord Vishnu. To have a good son, Maharaj Agnidra wanted a wife from a family of demigods. Therefore, he went to Mandara Hill, where the women of the demigods generally come to worship Lord Brahma. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 12, it is said, Kankshanta karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devataha. Materialists who want quick results in the material world worship demigods. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Aishwarya Pujap Savaha. Those who desire beautiful wives, substantial wealth, and many sons worship the demigods. But an intelligent devotee, instead of being entangled by the happiness of this material world in the form of a beautiful wife, material opulence, and children, desires to be immediately transferred back home, back to Godhead. Thus he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we're hearing about Maharaj Agnidra. Maharaj Agnidra is the son of the great Mahabhagavata devotee, Maharaj Priyavrata. So the question is posed, how is it that Maharaj Agnidra is having Pitriloka Kama, such a strong desire to attain the Pitriloka planet, which is a very materialistic desire meant for men who follow the Karmakandya, materialistic men. He is the son of a great Vaishnava, so how is it possible for him to be having such strong materialistic predilections? So then the answer to that is that Maharaj Priyavrata, although a great devotee, during the time of his conceiving Maharaj Agnidra, he was afflicted by very strong lusty desires. And on account of conceiving the child during a period when he was afflicted by lusty desires, then that molded the mentality of the child, or attracted a certain type of living entity, one that was materialistic. So, Srila Prabhupada's warning for those who are wanting to do the service of having children, then it is so important that at the time of conception, one's consciousness is devotionally infused, so that there's a better chance of getting a devotionally inspired child. And if it is the case that, like the cats and dogs, one is associating with one another just out of sensual attraction and attachment, then certainly such a mentality you'll bring in such a child that is of this same feather, right? Birds of the same feather flock together. And then you'll be wondering why it's so hard to train the child, why he doesn't sit quietly, why he doesn't focus on the Bhagavatam. When they do that ceremony, we hear about there's Bhagavatam is placed there, money is placed there, and And all devotees would like their children to be attracted to the Bhagavatam naturally. But most of the children crawling over to the money, immediately. I've seen actually this ceremony here a couple of times. I'm not going to say which kid I saw. You were knowing also. But I saw immediately went to the money. And then everyone looks at the father. Oh. The time of conception, huh? Your consciousness is not. Anyway, I'm making a little joke. Fun. But this is the reality. Kashyapa Muni was also a great personality. So also was his wife. And Diti? Diti and Diti are his wife. Diti was a little envious of Aditi because she was having children. Diti had not yet to produce any children. So she came to her husband at a very inauspicious time for conceiving children. And Kashyapa Muni warned her, this is not the proper time for conception. Lord Shiva is there with all ghostly figures roaming around. We will attract one of those ghostly figures. But she was being impelled by envy, she was insistent. And also, Srila Prabhupada describes, Kashyapa Muni had a little undercurrent of desire for sense enjoyment. So with a little bit of pressure, he kind of broke down a little bit. And knowing the consequences, he told the consequences also. Still, they engaged in sexual enjoyment at an improper time. And as a result, because on the mother's side, there was enviousness, and on the father's side, there was desire for sense gratification. So the type of children they got were Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Those were the type of children that were conceived. And Kashyapa Muni is a progenitor of the universe. He's not an ordinary living entity. He's also a great personality, as was Maharaj Priyavrata. So it is not sufficient that we have the Garbhadham Samskaras there in order to help the living entities mold their mentality in such a way that it can be devotionally infused. But the consciousness is not in the samskara. The samskara is to assist one in molding the mentality, the consciousness in a certain way. But one should not think that I can live a life of passion and ignorance and then do Garbhadham Samskara and everything's going to be okay. In the culture where Garbhadham Samskara was actually conducted, there was a culture of goodness backing that samskara, Varnashram Dharma, a culture of goodness. And so there was a lifestyle that was meant to direct the consciousness towards higher aspiration. And then there was the execution of the samskara. And then very nice children were produced. Very nice children are absolutely necessary for the upkeep of society, especially a society for self-realization. You need the proper progeny. And therefore, people live the proper lifestyle, and they also perform the necessary samskaras like Garbhadham Samskara, and the results were also very nice. Nowadays, one may be thinking, live a life of passion and ignorance. It means, one is not serious about their spiritual life in the realm of devotional service. And living a life of passion and ignorance, excessive usage of, the internet in an improper sort of way. CNN is a pretty popular site, even for devotees. Or certain types of coming in contact with certain types of vibration, and associations which infuse the mind with passion and ignorance. And then thinking that by Garbhadham Samskara I'll be able to attract a good kid, it's not going to happen. One has to live a proper lifestyle also, and also perform the necessary samskaras. Because these things don't go on, and people are generally impelled only by lust, therefore they're getting the result of children which are, you can say unwanted progeny. Even if the parents want it, the other people of the society don't. Right? You live in like a Rogers Park area and you see some of the children. I remember giving a discussion here amongst children. They were between the ages of 8 and 12, coming from a particular school nearby. And they were asking us various questions. And so they asked us, what were our principles? What type of principles did we follow? So I explained to them the four regulative principles. And then immediately, all the countenance on their face immediately became disturbed. Oh, I don't like this religion. They were openly saying in the class, I could hear them, I don't like this religion. I'm like, you're 12 years old, 10 years old. This is the result of a lusty desire at the time of conception. Another point we may derive from this particular understanding is that we're giving a little examples of Maharaj Priyavrata and Kashyapa Muni. They were great souls. They weren't ordinary personalities. But a moment of inattention led to disaster. A little lapse in the consciousness led to a major disaster in the form of, in their cases, unwanted progeny. I don't want to say Maharaj Agnidra was exactly unwanted progeny, but for such a great devotee, he would also like to see his children devotionally inclined. But his child was a little materialistic, so probably there was some disappointment there. And this was just due to a lapse in the consciousness. So one other idea we may extrapolate for our benefit is that even if one is a great devotee, if there is a lapse in the consciousness, it can lead to major disaster in a devotee's life. And there are many examples of that. One example is Indra. His spiritual master is walking to the room, and at the same time he's being praised. And due to being absorbed in the praises that he was getting, he became negligent towards his spiritual master, thinking, oh, spiritual master's anyway, I'm seeing him every day. Every day I'm doing a little service. I can offer business next time. Right now, the real thing is going on. And on account of that lapse in consciousness, he immediately caught it. After his spiritual master could understand, he was intoxicated by pride, he immediately left. And then Indra immediately caught that, oh, I've made a mistake, lapse in his consciousness. He began to chastise himself. Then he went to look for his spiritual master, nowhere to be found. And it led to the huge consequence of his losing the whole heavenly kingdom for some time. Another example of a lapse in consciousness is Chota Haridas. You know, he went to see, went to get some special rice from Mother, what was her name? Sikhi Mahidi's sister, though. The sister. She was an older lady. Lord Chaitanya had 3.5 persons that were non-different from him. Sikhi Mahidi was one, and his sister, what was her name? It begins with an M. I don't remember the name. It begins with an M. It's leaving my mind now. She was quite elderly. Something like that, Mala. Anyway, we'll look it up. She was quite elderly. But Bhagavata Acharya wanted first class rice to serve to Lord Chaitanya. And it was concluded that we'll call her Mother M for now. I do Malini and something begins with an M. She had first class rice. Chota Haridas was a sannyasi. He went to get that first class rice for the services of Krishna. And somehow or other, upon going to get the rice, he looked lustfully at a woman. Yasomanti Nandana Prabhu told us that Srila Prabhupada told them, because you were thinking, she was quite elderly, how could he be looking lustfully at an elderly woman? Yasomanti Nandana Prabhu told us, at least 2-3 times since I've lived here, that Srila Prabhupada told them that there was actually one servant girl in the back who was quite young. And when Chota Haridas went, he kind of glanced at her lustfully. It was just a lapse in the consciousness. Lord Chaitanya, when coming back, the first class rice was cooked for him. Lord Chaitanya was eating it. This is really first class rice. Wow, amazing first class rice. Where are you getting this first class rice from? And then Bhagavata Acharya told Chota Haridas has gone to Mother M's house and got, oh, this is okay. Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. After that, he expelled Chota Haridas from his association. Of course, there's many messages there. We're not going to the detail. We're making another point. It was just a lapse in consciousness. It led to a severe consequence. Another example is Mother Shachi. She lost one son because of his attraction to the katha coming from the lotus mouth of Advaita Acharya. And when she saw that her little Nimai was also similarly attracted, she was afraid that Nimai would also take to the sannyas order. So she began to think a little bit offensively about Advaita Acharya. lapse in the consciousness was there. And as a result, later on, when Mahaprabhu was performing his Mahaprakash Lila, he was to neglect his mother, even. He was benedicting all the devotees, giving them whatever benedictions they required. And all the devotees are like, what about your mother? You have not called your mother over? You know, she's a mother of you, mother of the universe. And he began to speak very heavily, apparently against his mother, since she is an offender. I will not give her the love of God. Like this speaking, all the devotees felt their hearts immediately shattered. Because just as they love Lord Chaitanya, they also love Mother Shachi. Same, prema is for the devotees also. So their hearts were immediately shattered to hear Mahaprabhu take such a strong stance. Why are you saying like this? She has committed offense at the lotus feet of Advaitacharya. Unless she is forgiven for this offense, I'll not give her any prema. Like that. Luckily, there was kirtan going on, and Advaitacharya went into ecstasy, and he fainted. And Mother Shachi took the dust of his lotus feet, seeking his forgiveness. Like that, she was released from her offense. And Chaitanya Bhagavata just described that the reason Mahaprabhu performed this pastime is to show that even if you're this exalted, you know, topmost level of Krishna consciousness, if you commit offense on account of some negligence is there, then you can be destroyed. This is the Chaitanya Bhagavata messages mentioned like that. So we see these are great personalities, but on account of being inattentive, there was a result that was unwanted. Everything can be lost. So inattention is our greatest enemy in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, especially from the perspective of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, which is supposed to be our primary means of salvation in this age of Kali. And the root cause of all offenses to the holy name is inattention. And attentiveness in services leads to destruction in Krishna consciousness. And there's different reasons we're inattentive. One reason is due to lethargy, another is due to distraction and vikshepa, another is due to apathy, udasinya. Generally, lethargy comes from insufficient engagement or wastage of time. And then because of the wastage of time, there's an increase in the mode of ignorance. And when one is not properly engaged and time is not properly used, then there's an increase in the mode of ignorance. One becomes lethargic. They cannot chant the holy name of Krishna. They become lazy in their various services, dragging around. That which can take 5 minutes drags on for years, Prabhupada says in the purport, in Gita. Vikshepa, distraction, is due to restless mind, restless senses. Everything is attracting the mind. Ooh, 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 ooh. Bug is crawling on the floor, that is attracting the mind. Devotee is walking back and forth. Everything is attracting the mind, restlessness. Insufficient determination to bring the mind back to the service at hand. One becomes distracted, he commits offense in the form of inattentiveness. Just like another example is Kala Krishna Das. He was servant of Lord Chaitanya, but he got distracted by the Bhattaharis. They were like gypsies. And he's serving Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of God himself. But he got attracted by the Bhattaharis and he didn't bring his mind back. Not sufficient determination to bring the mind back to his service to Lord Chaitanya. The Bhattaharis captured him. Lord Chaitanya went and rescued him, and then, but when they arrived at Puri, he said, this is a useless person, a useless servant. And his mind is not focused on the service. He was like Brahmachari only, so he didn't get excommunicated like Chotahari Das. Mahaprabhu wanted to set example with Chotahari Das. But he said, this useless person, get him out of here. The devotees later on found some other engagement for him, but it was outside the association of Lord Chaitanya on account of his lack of determination to keep his mind on the service at hand. Distraction led to an offense to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada comments there in the chapter 17 of Madhya Lila that if one is not himself determined to not be attracted by Maya, then not even the Supreme Lord can give one protection. Prabhupada's purport, that was scary purport when I read it. It was a scary sentence in the purport. That means that we're taking it for granted that, oh, I can be distracted and inattentive and it doesn't make any difference. Because Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. We think like that sometimes. But if there's insufficient determination, What is determination? Krishna says, wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. That is what it means to be determined. And if there isn't sufficient determination, we allow our minds to be attracted on all sides, and therefore the senses are also attracted on all sides. Then Prabhupada says, not even the Supreme Lord can protect such a devotee who has no strength in his determination. Odasanya means apathy. One becomes apathetic due to negligence and one's duties. The more one becomes negligent in duties, the more he becomes apathetic toward it. First, it's just like missing one or two times of service. Then three times. Okay, then I'm just going to make it once a week, I'll do it. Like that, you become negligent in the execution of duty, and it builds momentum. You become increasingly apathetic. Another reason apathy comes is negligence and gratitude. And I like to say gratitude and repentance together because they work hand in hand. You know, if you're only grateful, you get puffed up that I am such a recipient of mercy. Woo. You become, you know, full of yourself. So you have to be repentant also. You know, it's a good balance. When there's negligence and gratitude and repentance, one becomes apathetic. One becomes forgetful where they are coming from and what mercy they have received. So they become apathetic, taking it for granted. Oh, this is the duty of the devotees. They have to show me mercy. That is their obligation. And we're negligent to actually smarten them. Think how we have been benefited, how others have benefited. Kritagya means gratitude. Prabhupada says one. Kritagya means always remembering how one has been benefited by others. But we're negligent in that. We become increasingly apathetic. Their negligence and accountability. You know, we are making mistakes all the time, but we're not telling anyone. And as a result, that mentality builds up more and more and more. We become more and more crooked. And then we become apathetic in our services to Krishna. Another reason apathy comes a lot is because taking things for granted. Taking the association of the devotees for granted. We think that it is their obligation to show us mercy because they are so merciful to us. Isn't it? So we get the idea that this is their duty. They have to be merciful. Therefore, even if I am irresponsible and I misbehave, I can misbehave unlimited times because it is their anyway their duty to be merciful. We think like that, and we become apathetic towards it, and then familiarity brings in and destroys everything. So in this way, lapses in consciousness have severe consequences. This point we can get out of this extrapolating a little, but the point comes up. They were great personalities, but due to a lapse in consciousness, there were heavy consequences. So inattention is our worst enemy in the cultivation of devotional service. What does it mean to be a great soul? Satatam kirtanyanto man yatantascha dridavartaha namashyantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. To be a great soul means these activities. 24 hours a day engaging in the glorification of Krishna. Yatantascha dridavartaha. Being extremely determined in one's services to please Guru and Krishna. No inattentiveness. That is called determination. Dridhavrata. This is what means a great quote. Namashtan tashmam nida. Not neglecting to offer your obeisances properly. Not only with the body, but with the heart. Rivava puber vidada namaste. Obeisances have to be offered with heart, body, and words. Like that. This is called namashtan tashmam nida. Nitya yukta upasute. In this way, the great souls are always worshiping me. They are always under the Daivi Prakriti. That's previous verse. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakriti mashritaha. They are always under the internal potency. Why? Because satatam kirtanyantumam yatantash chadrudhavrataha. That way they keep themselves in the association internal potency. They are protected from Maya. Otherwise, victimized by Maya. So inattention is a very dangerous thing in the matter of the cultivation of devotional service. So Maharaj Priyavrata got a materialistic son. He wanted to go to Pitralok. In Pitraloka, in order to maintain one's status position in Pitraloka, you need a good child who will offer Pinda. Pinda means offer the remnants of Lord Vishnu to the forefathers. So first offer to Lord Vishnu, and then offer the remnants to Lord Vishnu. And as long as there's a good sons offering Pinda, then one can enjoy the delights in the Pitraloka planet for those who want to go there. Of course, even if you shall maintain such a status, po kshinya punya martyalokam vishanti, It is after your piety is exhausted, you still come down from that position after some time. So you may enjoy for some time, but after some time, the piety is exhausted, you come down again. So Prabhupada makes the point that those who are materialistically minded, like Maharaj Agnidra, they worship, their tendency is to worship the devatas in order to obtain quick results. And they get their quick results also by such proper worship of the devatas. But they don't realize, antavattu palam te sham tabhavati alpamedasam. They don't realize that such fruits are temporary. Why? Alpameda. Alpameda means their intelligence like this, meager. It's like someone serves you prasadam, they give you a little bit of the nicest preparation, like on a Vyasa Puja day or something, a really nice preparation is there, but it's not so much, they put a little bit on their plate. Not very good. You don't feel it is very good, you feel disappointed. Similarly, intelligence like that, very hardly any intelligence, going after temporary fruits. And then those temporary fruits are exhausted, and again, you come down and you're enjoying the back end, the dualities of material world, which is not very good. So those who are intelligent, the intelligent devotee, he does not want to be entangled with all these temporary affairs, which are only sources of fear, illusion, lamentation, and sorrow. They don't want to be involved with all these things. Rather, they desire to be transferred back home, back to the kingdom of God. And therefore, they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajanti, what is that? The other verse? Same verse from Gita. Prabhupada quotes it here also. Yanti ma yajinopi ma. They want to go to the kingdom of God. That's an intelligent person who wants to go to the kingdom of God. And so he worships Krishna with attentiveness. No lapse in the consciousness. Otherwise, everything will be lost. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Anyone wants to ask anything?
The example of Indra neglecting for a moment his spiritual master, and later on he realizes immediately, right? That's the example you're giving. In my situation, this happens to me a lot, that it could be a word or an action or a gesture that I do to devotees or, you know, in life. And immediately somehow the intelligence comes back and, you know, it says that this is something that went wrong. And throughout the day or week, month, I'll be suffering for that. So the repentance part is there, but...
The what part is there?
Repentance.
Like, repentance,
okay,
part.
That kind of mistake I should not do next. But a new one comes. It could be because of familiarity, or I think I have relationship, but you know, it ends up bothering me a lot. So how to go about it?
Well, first of all, on the repentance side, you know, we can repent the activity, but there's something in the consciousness that's causing a repeat of the same action. So even if we repent the activity, if it is not discovered, what is the going on with the consciousness that is causing a repeated activity to take place, then our repentance is like, you know, kundra shochava, like bathing an elephant. Because the consciousness will again drive us to the same mistake over and over and over again. So it is important to try to identify what is going on with the consciousness that is causing me to repeatedly make this mistake. And generally, we may not be able to recognize it for ourselves. So we have to take help from the association of devotees, that especially those who know our nature, that we have that trust, they can help us identify what's going on with the consciousness. And we have to repent on that level. And then, of course, not only repent, we have to rectify on the level of consciousness. That has to be. Otherwise, there's no use in saying, I'm sorry, you know, when the consciousness is not repenting, you know, and because we can't even recognize it. So that's on the repentance side. And on the side of rectification, like in terms of what we should do, your question was in particular with devotees like Indra. Then we have to go to that devotee. In Indra's case, he got a very severe chastisement from his spiritual master. He could not find. Spiritual master, like, disappeared, vanished, everything finished. But in the case of where we feel that we made a mistake, then immediately it should be addressed before that mistake builds up ground in our consciousness, and then everything's blocked. Generally, when we make mistakes, we wait a little bit too long to rectify it. And in that way, we become, you know, like devastated. Everything's kind of like lost. Of course, Krishna is very merciful, and the devotees are also very merciful. We may get other chances, but if we shall be thinking in that way, then that is most foolish. Rather, we should take the examples of the Bhagavatam, that whenever we get the association of great souls, it will be for a very short time period. We're eating it up, like, it's like, it's kind of like, ooh, it's just available in abundance, and we're like totally blissful, and, you know, but we should know that generally, if you shall read the Bhagavatam, you will see that the chance event, it was like a chance, yadrichaya. Yadrichaya means somehow or other. Now, it would be like a chance event to get the association of devotees who can really help us improve in Krishna consciousness. And so we should never think that such devotees will be obliged to stay with us. Krishna may call them away, either in the form of them leaving their bodies, or they get called from some service, and that was it, and that's all we have to work with for the rest of our life. Like Narada Muni's case. Narada Muni had the association of the Bhaktivedanta for 4 months. That was it. Then he had to carry that deeply in his heart. We're neglecting to really let the thing enter into the heart, because we think, oh, I got time. You know, it's a gradual process after all. So I got time to let it slowly, slowly open the heart, slowly, ever so slowly. Maybe when I'm 65, 70 years old, it'll be about 50% open. You know, like that. And we're taking our time to, you know, to really deeply think about how we're being benefited and thus opening the heart to the mercy that's coming. But most of these souls we see in the Bhagavatam, it was a very short time they had with such great souls. We should never take it for granted, our opportunity for association of devotees. Like in your personal case you were sharing yesterday, you might get called away for some business job, something, you know, somehow or other, you're pulled away. That means how much seriously we should be taking the opportunity we have now. There's a nice prayer of Srimati Radharani that comes in the second chapter of the Madhya Lila, where she is praying that there was a time where I was seeing Krishna. But shortly thereafter that time when I was seeing Krishna, I was attacked by two enemies, ecstasy and Cupid. And they stole my vision of Krishna that I could not see him anymore. And therefore, if I can again get back that time when I was seeing Krishna, I will worship time. Leaving aside Krishna, I would rather worship time. And offer time many jewels and ornaments. And that, why? Because it was that time period where I was seeing Krishna. So it means when I had that time, I had Krishna also before I was attacked by ecstasy and Cupid. Therefore, time is more important. Time is more important than even Krishna. In the example, she is praying like that. I would rather worship time because when I worship time, I'll get Krishna also. So in this way, this verse was used to describe Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Param Taram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. This verse comes that of all forms of worship mentioned in the Shastras, worship of the of Vishnu is supreme. But higher than that, my dear Devi, Shiva speaking to his wife Parvati, higher than that is worship of the devotees of Krishna. Tadiyan doesn't just mean the devotees. Tadiyan means that which has a relationship to Krishna, like Bhagavatam, Tosi, Ganga. But it's translated as, and devotees also are called as Tadiya. So more important than Krishna, in this sense, Krishna's own words, he also says the same thing, is the devotee of Krishna. Because you get devotee of Krishna, you get Krishna also. So anyway, my point is that we're taking very much for granted like that. We're just like, oh, it is an abundance, mercy is coming. So we're not aligning our consciousness, we're not repenting on a consciousness level. Why am I being so negligent in my consciousness? So that has to be there. And then when we rectify, it will have some meaning. Otherwise, useless thing. Does that answer the question? You have some other element to it? No? Finished? Srila Prabhupada, okay, what are some other ways of gratitude? Gratitude is not just saying thank you, thank you. What are some other ways of gratitude? As I mentioned in the class, Kritagya means always remembering how others have benefited us. This is described as gratitude. Srila Prabhupada, when describing the gratitude quality in the Nectar Devotion, describes it in terms of indebtedness, feeling oneself indebted. Now, when we're in debt, what do? You work hard like Naz, right, to pay off the debt, right? I owe, off to work I go. So there's the indebtedness to the devotee, whoever, there's some indebtedness there. That indebtedness will inspire, that feeling of indebtedness will inspire an activity of service in the case of devotees. In other words, what are some other ways to cultivate gratitude or be? Yeah, ultimately being Krishna conscious. You know, it's internal, but internal is expressed. Just like there are six loving exchanges amongst devotees, right? The six loving exchanges is not the love. The six loving exchanges is the expression of the loving feeling, right? When there's love there, it gets expressed as these loving exchanges. So the internal is expressed, you know. So although gratitude is also internal, it will manifest in the activity of service. Like, for example, for sinful living entities like us, if we had not gotten the opportunity of this Krishna conscious movement, we were probably gliding down to the lower species or something like that, for sure. There's no doubt about it. I just read a purport like this yesterday in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's no, absolutely no doubt about it. Lower species, you know, that's at best. You know. So now we've given the opportunity to the Krishna consciousness movement, opportunity to serve Krishna, to serve devotees like that, to serve the mission. Then how is it we can have a mentality of a total frustration when some services are coming, getting annoyed, getting irritable, finding fault with all the devotees, finding fault with the services themselves, finding fault with Krishna himself. We were gliding down in the lower species of life, or worse. And how can we have a mood of a lack of service, readiness for service? Just like if you've been pulled out of the ocean by some merciful person, then they actually do this and do that and do that. Boom, I'm ready. Unless we're not grateful. Then we're like, what is this? I mean, yes, you did pull me out of the ocean. I do admit that. But I have my own life. So another way of expressing gratitude in terms of our activities is giving up our spirit of independent-mindedness and wanting to do our own program, and rather seeing what is needed to be done in the service of Krishna and accepting that service happily. There are nuances to this. This is like a general mood. There could be nuances if you want to give like an example of, you know, some really intricate example of how this thing and that thing and that thing and that thing, and therefore I wasn't being, that's another thing. But as a general spirit, I owe, off to work I go. I think that summarizes it very nicely. I owe, off to work I go. How much I'm being benefited, I need to now. And there's no question of paying back also, but you have to try. That is mentioned. No, you have to try. How do you try? You have to work like a slave. That is very hard. Like this. I've heard like this, so I'm sharing that point. Okay, does that satisfy? That is okay? Okay, so I need to.
Carlos Prabhu says the name of the person is Damayanti.
Damanai? Nah. It begins with an M.
And the second one is, I don't know, it's just a name which doesn't make sense. So the person is asking, Hiranyakashipu lived a life of passion and ignorance and got Prahlad.
Yes, so this story, I was going to tell that story. I forgot to tell that story. This is mentioned in the Narasimha Purana. Hiranyakashipu went off to some hill to do severe austerities in order to become the unrivaled sovereign of the universe. So he was living an austere life that time. That time, Narada Muni and Angira Muni took on the form of birds and began whispering the name of Narayana in his ears while he was trying to meditate. Narayana, 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 like that. And so he tried to kill these birds also. We've heard this. We've seen in the Narasimha Purana also. He took his sword out, was trying to get, and they would fly high into the tree. He would again go back into meditation. They would again swoop down. And very frustrating. He felt himself contaminated by hearing the holy name. So he went home in total frustration. And how to get over the frustration? Have illicit sex, right? So he went to, you know, have sexual, enjoy sexual enjoyment with his wife. And at that time, his mind was fixed on the name of Narayana and his consciousness. So the whole time he was doing that, he was conceiving, Narayana was very much prevalent in his consciousness. It is mentioned in this way. And therefore he got a good child in the form of Prahlad Maharaj, to his dismay. That's the power of the holy name of Krishna. Of course, one should not count on that. Generally, with Hiranyakashipu, everything he did was intensified to the millionth degree, you know? So when his hatred for Vishnu was so profound that he could not stop thinking about Vishnu. We also hate Vishnu, but we can easily forget him. So we should not try to imitate the activities of Hiranyakashipu, live a life of passion and ignorance, and think, oh, I'll just remember Vishnu at the time of conception. That's okay. You'll get a Hiranyakashipu for a kid also. You'll see. Because it won't be, the absorption won't be, like Kamsa, he was Krishna conscious, unfavorably. But we can't expect, even though we are envious of Krishna, we are not so Krishna conscious. Narada Muni, in fact, glorified the Krishna consciousness of Kamsa and other such fellows, saying, even I am not so absorbed as these persons. That is in his humility. We should not think Narada Muni is not so absorbed. But they're spontaneously absorbed in Krishna. When Kamsa would go to the bathroom, he would be thinking about Krishna. Krishna, he would eat Krishna, he would sleep in Krishna, everything Krishna. When I eat, sleep, evacuate all these things, my mind going all over the place, nowhere to the lotus feet of Krishna. So we cannot expect to live a life of passion and ignorance. This was an extraordinary case. Another point is the will of the Lord. Providence plays a part, just like Advaitacharya. It is not possible for him to be outside of pure consciousness, you know, being a manifestation of the personality of Godhead. And yet he had children that were not Krishna conscious. And that was the arrangement of providence that was what's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So by the will of the Lord, these things happen also. And no one can understand the plan of the Lord. Many sages inquire about it exhaustively. They never come to any conclusion. So ultimately, in the ultimate reality, the Lord is doing something. There's the desire of the Lord. Otherwise, how great souls can have lapses in their consciousness also. And by the will of the Lord, it can happen. Some plan the Lord wants to manifest like that. Madhavi Devi, thank you. Madhavi Devi, yeah, Madhavi Devi, that's the one. Phew. Okay, was there anything else someone must strive for? Yeah, Vrindavan Das Thakur.
I had a thought and a question. When you were answering his question, it reminded me of something that I've been appreciating recently. That, like you've been discussing the danger of misapplying text 5 of NOI. Very valid concern. And when I was reading it, I wanted to understand like how can we apply this properly. And it struck me more now, like continuing inspiration, is that as eagerly as we have to apply, like controlling the Vegas, Atyahara, etc., as eagerly as we have to seek out deeper conviction and Dharya, etc., we have to just as eagerly seek out loving relationships with devotees, right? I mean, that seems kind of obvious, but you know, it follows the logic of like applying the instructions of NOI. And then how do we apply those exchanges? We have to just as eagerly want to understand how to do that also. And if we are eager to understand how to apply those exchanges, our consciousness will be, how can I honor the devotees, as opposed to how can I find out what devotees are in different places? Because if you read the purport, the whole discussion is, how to honor different devotees, not how to find out what level devotees are at. So minimally, you have to honor them with your mind. If you can determine that someone is higher, you must honor them with obeisances. If you can determine that they are even higher, you must seek their association and serve them and exchange with them like this. So that's just appreciation. Because we don't have bee-like minds, we have fly-like minds, then this becomes a problem.
Yeah, I would like to underscore your statement, if we can determine.
Right.
And that's where the problem comes up.
Yeah.
Is the inability to determine.
If we can't determine, then we can't.
Apply.
Have to be honest.
Effectively.
Right. But we have to mentally honor, minimally. It's like, how much can I honor? That should be the endeavor. Not like, can I figure out what the level of a devotee is? If I don't know, then I have to honor them mentally, minimally. That's my inspiration about it. That's not the way we apply it sometimes, but, you know, anyway. The question that I had was, in this kind of discussion, although, you know, I'm really appreciating, we have to be really careful about lapses in, you know, as much as possible. On a certain level of our practice of Krishna consciousness, being careful of lapses becomes like it's like an ecstatic meditation. Like, I want to be more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, kind of the way that we process that. On another level, when it comes to like thinking of a service like this, where he's going to conceive a child or whatever, you have to do some big service, it can become like fear. You know, like, oh my God, if I make a mistake, what am I going to do? So I just thought it would be healthy maybe for us to hear from you more about how we can process this in a positive way. Because as you were also discussing, you know, we're coming from a background, you know, our lives are not perfect either, even as starting to practice Krishna consciousness. And then we have to do some important service. Oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? I can't just chant Hare Krishna and then it's going to be okay. So how do we go forward with confidence?
Srila Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha nishchaya daryat tatta karma pravartanat sangatyago satoviti shabir bhaktir prasiditi na prasiditi. So that's the positive, you can say, application of the same point. On the, you can say, negative side is the lapses in consciousness. On the positive side, these six qualities are mentioned like that. And we can now discuss elaborately. The six qualities are there. Madhino Thakur writes big essays on each quality. So if you want to go deeper into that, you can refer to Sri Bhakti Loka, which is a book by Madhino Thakur, 12 essays on verses 2 and 3. And he describes each of these qualities very, in a most profound sort of way. And that way we can see the positive side, like that. Okay, is there any other questions or comments, concerns? Srila Prabhupada ki jai!